Welcome to the Gentleman Ultra podcast. I'm your host, Frank Risotto, and today I'm thrilled to be joined by Ashwin Bilal, who's the author of the new book, Made in Argentina and Mastered in Madrid. This book tells all about how Diego Simeone awakened the sleeping giant that is Atletico Madrid and obviously focuses on the Argentinian legend himself. So Ashwin, welcome to the show. Let's talk Simeone.
Yeah, for sure. Excited. Thanks for having me on, Frank.
Oh, no worries, no worries. So what is it that attracted you to write a book based on Diego Simeone and his work at Atletico Madrid?
I mean, to be honest, Frank, you know, Diego Simeone is just this enigma of a manager. You know, you either love him or you hate him. And I used to hate him, to be very honest. You know, the first time I saw him, I didn't think, you know, this was what football was about. But, you know, as you just keep watching him, you just grow attached to him. And I realized, you know, okay, there are a lot of people who haven't made that jump like I have. And this was something that hopefully pushes them to make that jump, because once you love him, you're just going to defend him with all your life.
Oh, that's right. That's right. So he was a former player at Atletico Madrid. He won the title with them as a player. Is that correct?
Yep,
and
that is.
They hadn't won anything prior to him arriving at the club for about 15 years.
Yep, a good 15 years.
So prior to his arrival, what was the state of Atletico Madrid?
So Atletico had, you know, a lot of problems with their management and, you know, starting off with the period of Jesus Gil, which really was, you know, not the best way for the club to be run, because it happened in sort of like an illegal takeover of sorts, you know. And Jesus Gil was this really egocentric person. And there were issues from the time that Simeone was playing there as well. You know, even that one title seemed about an anomaly, you could say. And even after that title, you know, you had Jesus Gil parading around Madrid on an elephant, which, you know, really showed the type of character that the man was. But once Simeone left as a player, there was just no success, because nobody could get the best out of Atletico. And there was no stability in a side that once used to be the third best, you know, firmly the third best in Spain. You know, they were getting relegated, they were coming back up, they weren't, you know, playing the type of football that you'd associate with sides wanting to push to the top. They had that one, you know, Europa League win under, you know, Kiki Sanchez Flores, but they weren't really, you know, becoming that European mainstay that they wanted to be. And it was not until, you know, Simeone came in that it was sort of unprecedented in the way that they managed to kick on from there. And even, you know, considering that the management has stayed the same. So that's why, you know, Simeone has been such a central figure in Atletico Madrid's history to, you know, bring them back almost single-handedly, you know, to the top.
And he was there, if I read this right, he was their 17th manager in 15 years.
Yep. He was, you know, they were just a chopping block of managers. You know, they were going through managers like, you know, some would say like how Watford were, you know, in recent times. You know, they were just going through it. They had good managers. You know, they once went through four managers within a single season, which is, you know, you can tell a lot about a football club, you know, when that happens.
Yeah, that's right. So he, in 1990, of course, he joined Pisa in Italy. They previously had players like Dunga, Paul Elliott, but he made the move over to Italy as he was 20 years old at the time.
Yeah.
So did you go back, when you were looking at the book, did you go back to look at his early spell and playing career in Italy?
Yeah, I did. You know, it was very, very interesting, because by 20, you know, Simeone had already, you know, somehow managed to get a breakthrough into the Argentine national team as well. That story was a bit funny. You know, there's a story going around about how him and a teammate missed the bus, and they had to, you know, travel a huge distance, you know, for an under 19 game, if I'm not wrong. And, you know, by the time they got there, you know, the training session was over, and, you know, they were met by Carlos Bilardo, the national team manager, who was so impressed that they were willing to put this much, you know, effort to make it to, you know, a missed session, that he included them in the main team. And, you know, Simeone's stocks were sort of, you know, skyrocketing by that point in time. But his move to Pisa was, you could say, a very unorthodox method of scouting, because, you know, Pisa's, you know, director just looked at a picture of him and said, you know what, he has a very determined face, I want him on board. And, off he went to Italy. And I feel, that was a very important part of his playing career because, as a young guy moving over to Italy, he was, covering every single blade of grass in Italy in a side that, was had, got relegated in their first season. But, Simeone was easily one of the most valuable players. And he stayed on with them in the Serie B, still, dominating. He did have a few injuries in that second season, but his quality was so evident that you just knew, as much as everyone at Pisa wanted him to play, you knew he was just going to go to some bigger fish somewhere.
I like he always has that famous quote where he said his parents raised him to play football like a soldier, and that very much comes out in his in the way he plays, his playing style, his playing career. So yeah, so he spent time with Pisa, and then of course he made the move to Inter, and then he also made the move to Lazio. When I think of him, I think of him in Lazio colours. I think he had more of an impact there and more effect. Maybe he won more there, I guess. But yeah, what do you think those moves did for his career now in hindsight?
So, the move to back to Italy was after that, first period of success at Atletico. And, I mean, obviously, after that first period of success, they were starting to dwindle a bit and he moved to Italy. But to join up in that Inter team, that were really, looking the thing at that point in time, it was excellent for his career because it honestly felt like Simeone was one of the glue of that side. They had the big names, but Simeone was that guy in midfield who was going to do the work, and they were built to be a counter-attacking side. So he was the guy who's going to win the ball and feed it to everyone else. Everyone remembers him more, probably for that spell at Lazio, just because he won more. And his move to Lazio was a bit iffy because he was used as a pawn to lure his guy the other way. And in that sense, it was not a move which he was really interested in doing. But it was one that he ended up having to do. And, but it turned out to be successful for Lazio. They even pipped Inter to the title. They were pipped Inter to the, Coppa Italia. They were doing so much against Inter. But I think the love that Simeone felt at the San Siro was, something that has stayed with him because even till now, he's always said that, he wants to manage Inter. He doesn't really speak much of Lazio, even though, that was probably the most successful period of him. Linking up with Sven-Goran Eriksson. He speaks highly of Sven-Goran Eriksson, but a bit lesser of Lazio, which is, obviously interesting to note that, he still has that love for Inter, especially.
Yeah, it'd be fantastic to see him come back to Italy. I don't know about the wages, whether they'd suffice in Italy or not, but yeah, we'll see what happens there. Yeah. Do you think his obviously his playing style suited Italy. He stayed, like you said, there Inter, and then he went Lazio, then he went back to Argentina for a spell, and he returned to Racing. Is that right from memory? He went to
That is.
Racing, and did he lead them to a title as well? End of his career, I'm
So
sure it was. Yeah, that's what I thought.
he did. He did. So when he went back to Italy, it was his side was very different to the way that, it was it is right now. It was more like an all or nothing style. Racing one season were winning the title. Next season, they were going, down and looking to be in relegation. And then he jumped ship to Estudiantes, and over there also, there was a it was the same sort of trajectory. He was going to go up, then going down. Then he went to River, and he was with the likes of Falcao and Alexis Sanchez. And he was a title one season, and then down, facing relegation next. So it was a very different Simeone, and it was not until he came back to Italy, with Catania. At that point in time, I think Catania had about 12 Argentine players. So having Simeone there was a real benefit, and he, attributes a lot of his current managerial style to that little stint in Catania because it really sh it was an outright relegation battle. He had Argentine media really questioning him at that point in time because, his successes aside, he wasn't getting consistent results. And that spell at Catania, people doubted whether, what is he going to do in Europe? Is he even cut out for that sort of game? And that pragmatic approach at Catania, he saw them finish 10 points above the relegation zone, which was brilliant. And he was really having that sort of defensive solid football, keeping the side well above where they were supposed to be. And even though that was short, I really feel that that managerial stint at Catania was so important for his success, just laid the foundation for him, at Atletico as well.
Yeah, because he had they were when he joined the club, they were 3 points above the relegation zone. And like you said there, like he led them to a 13th place finish, so like 10 points clear, which was and that was only and then, a month or two later, he's in charge of Atletico Madrid. It's a big step up, yeah. But I think too in the case of Inter, like he replaced from memory, I remember he replaced Paul Ince. So he had some, pretty big shoes to fill, I guess, in terms of personality and on-field aura, if you can call it that. But he like instantly fell in love with the club and helped them win the UEFA Cup. But he was sort of, I guess, he left Inter unceremoniously. Like he sort of got pushed out of the club, I guess, when they made the deal for Christian Vieri, and then of course he moved to Lazio and shined under Sven. But yeah, so that now that he's been at Atletico Madrid for a while, do you see him staying there for much longer? Can you see him becoming a career coach with Atletico Madrid, or do you think eventually he'll make the move to Italy or potentially even Catania when they come back? Who knows? You never know. Or even to the national team with Argentina.
I honestly think that an Inter move is, very likely. Going by managers, Simeone's, knowing his love for football, I don't see him walking away from management anytime soon. He's still fairly young. He was young when he started out. He's still young. But I'm honestly a bit confused, myself as to when exactly that happens, because I don't see Simeone staying with Atletico forever either. As much as, a love affair, that has been. He's made it very, very clear that, he wants to be in Italy one day. And when someone like Simeone has his eyes fixed in that, repeating it multiple times, you just have that feeling that he's going to do it. I think personally, the moment he's one of the major things keeping Atletico going. If he were to leave, first of all, those are massive shoes to fill in, and with the management, still the way they are, there's every possibility that Atletico just dip back into, whatever they were before Simeone came in. So I think, Simeone is sort of in that process of trying to get the club into a state where it can handle itself without him. He's sort of trying to make them that self-sufficient side. You look at the kind of quality of the players that they have. He wants to build them into a side which anybody can take on, I think once he does that, whenever that happens, I think he's going to be eyeing, the Inter job first. As much as he would like the Argentine national team job, I just think, he wants to make that step to Inter to get that love that he had in Italy, again, just for, however short that span may be. So, I think if you're an Inter fan, if you're an Italian football fan, you can definitely count on that.
Yeah, he seems more suited to club management than international management. The big gaps in breaks between games, I think it'd drive him crazy, How has he evolved over his time at Atletico Madrid? Because they had a sort of a set style the way they played in the early period of his spell there when they were, doing quite well and very successful. Then they sort of hit a bit of a flat spot, and over the last, 12 to 18 months, it's almost like he's trying to change their game. How have you seen it evolve over the course of time, and what did you notice when you were writing the book?
So, it's very interesting, to go through how Simeone has played, because everyone just remembers him as a manager who's going to defend, defend, defend for 89 minutes, attack for a minute, and, score and win the game. That was the case, when he started out. So, to get, he was going with, a normal 4-4-2 where he was trying to, sit back, counter, a more pragmatic style, bump Atletico up the table. And that seemed to work for him, with the kind of profiles that he was having. It worked, it took him to a title, but he's always been a very pragmatic manager in that he understands, what needs to be done. He's not someone that defends for the sake of it. He's very results oriented. He wants to, the reason why he defends is just so that he, if you don't let in a goal, he just knows that you cannot lose the game. That's the sort of manager he is. But as football was starting to evolve and sides were getting better at breaking down, low blocks, he realized, like, all right, this is Atletico. We need to push on for more. We're not going to do it just by, sitting back and countering all the time. And, with more technical players like Saul and, Lemar and the likes coming in, he was trying to sort of change up his 4-4-2 to be a bit more attacking, to sort of have one of the two midfielders sit back, one of them attack, and that sort of thing. But that was around the period where they were flat spotting, like you said, because it didn't seem like that Simeone setup could go on and attack the way that he wanted them to, or the way that people wanted them to really dominate the games, the kind of quality that they had. So, it was intriguing to see him change up the formation, go up to a back five, but instead of becoming even more defensive, that I think that change was important in Simeone coming out with completely new attacking tactics, because he had that solidity at the back and he could give all his attacking players much more license to go forward. Players like Carrasco, who sort of struggled to fit in like a winger, ended up doing really well in that sort of half, that wing back-ish role where he was given the license to operate higher up. And I think Kieran Trippier's career just completely revived at Atletico. He was so good as that right wing back that Simeone realized, okay, in the modern game, I'm not going to have those nitty-gritty players. He's not going to find more Diego Simeones in the current market to just battle it out for him.
Just
He's
trying
going to
to
have
field
that.
11 Simeones in the one side.
Exactly. So, that evolution of Simeone to understand what's available at the moment and to understand what's the best way to go about it is honestly a part of his managerial style, which is very, very underrated. And a lot of people have their doubts whether he could do well anywhere other than Atletico. And when you look at this, the way he's able to make the best use of his tools, I think he'd do well at any club that he steps into.
Yeah. Do you think he's evolved as a manager in terms of his relationship with the players as well?
Yeah, I mean he's still very, very hard on his players. I think when the likes of Griezmann etc. came in, he was very hard on them. And you get a lot of that treatment with Simeone. Sometimes if you don't cut it, you don't cut it. There have been multiple instances of failures of at Atletico, failed signings, and if they haven't performed, Simeone just hasn't given them a look in. But at the same time, a lot of people have gotten that tough love from him. He expects a lot from his players, and a lot of people end up liking it. Say the latest instance was João Félix. Struggled when he came in. A lot of reports, as usual, the media building up that this tension. That Simeone wants him to do things which he's not supposed to be doing and not capable of doing. But Félix loves Simeone now, and yeah, that's the kind of treatment that he gets. That's the kind of buy-in that he gets as a manager, which is pretty remarkable to see, because not a lot of players can really take into a manager being so harsh or demanding so much of them. But Simeone's man management is so good that he's able to really help his players understand their own strengths and buy into his own system, which is, like I said, truly remarkable. When he walked in, the Atletico dressing room was just completely devoid of confidence. And within a few months, they were winning the Europa League, and they just looked a completely different side. So it's, these kind of things which a lot of people like to make a lot out of his relationship with players, but for the most part, they've all been good. They've all been great, you could say. And everyone wants to defend Simeone with their lives. So I guess that's remarkable.
Yeah, that's right. And you see, even in the case of Carrasco, like he left, didn't he, for like big
Yeah,
money, and then essentially he asked to come back. He wanted to go back. That was, the place where he felt most comfortable and where he was the best version of himself. But
Exactly that.
yeah, I was going to say, like the I don't know if you saw that Amazon Prime series, the Simeone series, where they focus on him, and it really opens up a whole new side of him. And especially you see with the players where he is tough and he's demanding on them, but at the same time, he just keeps it very simple. He just wants them orders to do their own job and concentrate on their own game. But he can also, throw an arm around one of them and talk to them one on one, and just get, like you said, you want to go to war for him, so to speak. You die for him.
I think that series was very, very eye-opening, because you were hearing everyone talk about it. Had Cristiano Ronaldo coming on and saying, Simeone is just brilliant, one of the guys that I really respect, and you know the kind of war of words that the two of them have had over the years. But like you mentioned, Carrasco as well, that's the sort of buy-in that you get. You know, Carrasco left for, it was a very, you know, peculiar move, you could say, you know, going to China for big money, yeah, but at his age. But you know, the moment you know, Simeone trusted Carrasco, all said and done. You know, when he was available, he wanted him back, and Carrasco wanted him back because he knew that was the kind of trust and relationship that he had, which, like, you know, excellent. And excellent to see in that documentary of, you know, the multiple sides of Simeone and how they all just gel together.
Yeah, even like you're seeing with his kids, you know, like
Yeah.
with Giovanni, of course, is at Napoli. The favorite part I like in it is when him and Varane are on the screen together,
Yeah.
and he's just like, you know, like we hate each other, we didn't talk, we're, you know, but when we get on the field together, you know, I'd die for him, and he's my brother.
Yeah.
It's a really interesting dynamic that the two of them have.
There definitely is. You know, I think a lot of people have that kind of interesting dynamic with Simeone. You know, there's just so much of respect for him because of the way that he operates. You know, like you said, you know, a lot of people, you either love him or you just absolutely despise him. But at the end of the day, I think almost everyone in some way or another just respects the way that he operates and the way that he does things.
So this book, Mastered in Madrid, what was a, or maybe Argentina, made in Argentina, Mastered in Madrid, I should say. Yeah. What was the hardest part about writing it, and how did you like start the process? What was the idea behind it?
To be very honest, the I'm not even sure if there's a single hardest part because I personally didn't expect it to be as challenging as it was. I guess you could say on my end, I massively underestimated it because, you know, when I saw it, I had the idea, you know, I was really passionate about it. I pitched it, you know, gratefully. You know, Pitch Publishing were very kind enough to accept it and say that they'd put it out. So I was doing the research, and you know, this was something that I was doing outside of my full-time job. And you know, I thought it'd just be very easy to, you know, balance both. But you know, the amount of time and space, and I didn't realize how much of myself I was really putting into this book because it's just brilliant to, you know, learn more and dive more when you're doing so much of in-depth research. You know, at times I would say, okay, I want to do some work on my book for a couple of hours, and then, you know, half my day, three quarters of my day gone, and I just had no idea. So, you know, it was brilliant. And so probably, you know, if I need to point out a single most difficult portion, it's to try and make it as understandable and as readable as possible, because I've tried to give it you know, a tactical look as well, because I think a lot of people misunderstand the way Simeone plays football, you know, and I felt it was really important to show them that, you know, it's not the way that you really think it is, but to make that understandable and really readable, you know, not to be too, you know, into the details, and you know, if you're throwing around a lot of jargon, not many people are gonna, you know, be invested in your book. So probably that, because it involved a lot of rereads, you know, asking, you know, my parents don't watch that much of football, so asking them to sort of go through it and be like, hey, do you understand what I'm saying over here? That kind of stuff.
Yeah. So what gave you the idea to write it?
Well, you know, when I wanted to, when I it just really popped into my mind was, you know, that at the start of that title winning season, you know, it looked like at that point, you know, for some reason I was convinced that Atletico were going to win the title. You know, I mean, it ended up being a very last minute thing at the end. But you know, I just said, you know, this is brilliant. You know, if they're doing this, it's going to be the second time, you know, in, you know, such a long period. But they've been so successful, and I want to know why. You know, personally, you know, I just want to know how is it that they're doing this. You know, they're not by any means the, you know, the best side in Spain. You know, they're not by any means going to be considered the top side for forever, I guess, you know, with likes of Real Madrid and Barcelona. And this was an interesting story, which, you know, when I tried researching on it, you know, there was just one book, which is a brilliant book by, you know, Ewan McTeer, I should say, about that 2013-14 title-winning season. But there's not much else on really Diego Simeone's time at Atletico. You know, there are multiple books about so many of the top clubs, but people have almost taken it for granted that Atletico are going to be in and around there. They're going to be causing problems. Nobody really understands where they came from and how much it's taken them to get here. And I felt, you know, that I wanted this to be out there, you know, because the kind of realization that it gives, the kind of appreciation that it gives to this club, you know, is brilliant. You know, they deserve every single bit of praise that comes their way.
Yeah, did you get involved or do any research with the club themselves or
No,
make any contact,
it
or
was
did
a
you
bit difficult.
steer clear?
I did try. I did try. You know, I did try to make some contact, but it was very difficult to reach out to them. You know, I managed to reach out to a few journalists covering Atletico. So someone major who helped me a lot was Sam Leveridge. So he's an Englishman based in Madrid who covers a lot of football, a lot of La Liga football. So that was the best I was able to do. And you know, Sam was brilliant in helping me go through this. But in terms of reaching out to the club, you know, I it was a touch and go whether they got back, but unfortunately they didn't. I've actually, you know, managed to send Diego Simeone a copy.
Awesome.
Hopefully it reaches him. I guess
Yeah.
I've sent it to their offices at, the Metropolitano.
Yeah.
Hopefully it reaches him. You
Oh,
know,
that's awesome.
we'll see
Oh,
how
I hope
that
he gets
goes.
it. That'd be great. That'd be great.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Oh, well, made in Argentina, mastered in Madrid. It's out now from our friends at Pitch Publishing. And I look forward to number two, made in Argentina, mastered in Milan when he joins Inter.
Definitely, definitely.
We'll see. But yeah, all the best with the book. Thanks again for your time. And yeah, take care, Ashwan. Well, that was a great chat with Ashwan Bilal, author of Made in Argentina, Mastered in Madrid. That's available now where all good books are sold. Hope you enjoyed that little chat on the manager, the person, the personality, and everything else that comes with Diego Simeone. Don't forget to rate and review the podcast and share it where you can. Every little bit helps. Thanks again for listening. Take care, everyone, and enjoy your culture.